Don't forget, you can't fly up on top of the seals. Don't forget that. You got one, two,
Dolly Dagger, recorded live at the Isle of Wight on August 30th, 1970. Less than a month after the Isle of Wight, on September 18th, 1970, Jimi Hendrix died in London as a result of inhalation of vomit due to barbiturate intoxication. Although controversy shrouded the events surrounding his death, the coroner's report concluded that there was insufficient evidence to determine whether it was intentional or accidental. There was certainly no doubt about what Jimi had achieved in his life, as Pete Townsend explained in a film about Jimi Hendrix.
I think in many respects he changed the sound of rock far more than the Beatles, you know. They brought songwriting to rock and roll, but Jimi changed the sound of the guitar. He turned it into an instrument, which all right, people like Buddy Guy and T-Bone Walker and Chuck Berry had done previous to that, but none had ever brought it out and sold it to the public, and sold it to people like me, you know, who now believe in it as an instrument. People like Eric Clapton were too ethnic. You know, they kept themselves to themselves and they had fixed groups, but Jimmy was unashamedly outward and, you know, wanted to reach as many people as possible.
Although Jimmy's recording career spanned only a few short years, and there were only 6 official Hendrix albums released during his lifetime, the endless hours he spent experimenting in the studio have left us with an incredible recorded legacy. Enough music to fill dozens of posthumous albums, official and otherwise.
Unfortunately, you know, because he died, he never got around to doing a lot of mixes on the stuff himself, which is rather unfortunate because, you know, who can tell what the man had in his mind for the ultimate result? I mean, there's so much stuff that was left open when he died that was in the can, but it was never completed.
One of the projects that was never completed was The First Rays of the New Rising Sun, the double album that Jimmy had been working on through much of 1970. Mitch Mitchell and Eddie Kramer, the two men who had been most closely involved with the project, were able to finish 10 of the tracks for an album called Cry of Love, released in February 1971. But there should have been more, says Mitch, much more. At the age of only 27, Jimmy still had a long way to go before he delivered the last sermon in his electric church, or wrote his final song.
I don't feel the man obviously ever got down completely what was in his mind, which is a shame when you're talking about, you know, a deceased person. And that's sort of, you know, must be a frustration for him as well, I would think, you know, if there is any after spirit.